Hi, this is Tessa Jeffers with PremierGuitar.com. I'm here with DJ Ashba from Guns N' Roses and guitar tech Chris Weitmeyer at the House of Blues in Chicago. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good.
How are you doing?
All good.
And we're going to start off looking at DJ's guitars. He's got about 8 that he uses in the show. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that, DJ?
Well, I can tell you, I play whatever Chris hands me. We call it the cigarette burn guitar because I put all my cigarettes out on it. I usually use this one in songs like this I love. Let's see, what other songs do I play?
November
Rain. I don't even know what songs I play with guitar.
So is that the go-to guitar for the cigarettes? Or?
It kind of happened slowly. You know, one time I was playing, I put one out, and next song, you know, and over time it turned out looking like an ashtray.
It's pretty cool to me.
And this is another cool Les Paul I have. We call this the sticker tattoo guitar. And it just was one of those guitars. I think it was originally just glossy black, and I think we painted it flat black and threw a bunch of stickers on it. And it's a pretty cool guitar. This one, actually, we made a little mini version of it. A couple of these. Yeah, that sell on ashpaswag.com. It's a good plug for my store.
What do you mean by mini version?
They're like little tiny like mini replicas of these guitars that are pretty cool. This guitar is probably one of my favorites. I remember when I started this was a gold top, and I had this crazy idea, and I remember when all these Les Pauls showed up, and this one... you know, I just started doing mad work to it, and Chris was like, "What are you doing to your guitar?" And I just had a vision. I wanted to do like a version of I'm way into horror movies, and I love like Leatherface and those type of things. And so I created this. This is all sinew, and I build up the scar tissue. There's actually a kind of a step by step I did online on Gibson.com.
So real sinew.
Real sinew, yeah, which is animal guts. But back in the day,
it's pretty hardcore.
The Indians would use it to like, you know, tie arrows to a bow or make jewelry out of it because it's actually stronger than real string. But what we did is I drilled all the holes and then we took this and mounted it and repainted it, and it turned out really cool though. But there's like a step by step. Check it out on the Gibson website.
And any tunes?
They're gonna get really mad. At me, and they actually really liked it. So,
any tunes you play that one on?
Yeah, this is Shackler's Revenge. I play that on that song. That's pretty much all that we've used that one for. This one, the sticker, we use for a lot of songs. More of the Appetite stuff, you know. A lot of the.
Would you say that's one of your primaries?
Yeah, it's one of the top 8 ones that we use live. What do we got here? This starts off the show. I'm way into Tim Burton, obviously, and I went to see his exhibit in LA, and I just kind of inspired this whole clown weird, you know, spiral thing, you know. So I left the museum all inspired, so I came home. I own a graphic company, and we sat down and kind of sketched out all this stuff, and these skulls are actually on hoodies now and everything else. And so that one was a lot of fun. And this one actually is cool because you can't really tell right now, but I start the show Chinese Democracy. And if Chris lights this up, Gibson actually went out of their way to do this because in the dark, my markers actually glow to where the first like 4 chords are, because it's a lot of times it's so black, pitch black up there, you can't see the guitar.
Wow.
So they actually marked.
Yeah, they put radian in there like in a watch.
Yeah, so like when I'm up there, I can tell exactly what chord. So it's a little cheating, but it, you know, I'm not, you know,
that's
I don't have
cool.
Night vision either up there, so.
You don't?
No. There's a mini replica, actually, of Leatherface, this one, too. And this was inspired off of the Demented Collection guitars by Ovation. I have a signature line through them, and this is one of the designs that are on one of the Ovation guitars. There's a collection of 4. But, this one's kind of a backup.
Backup for better.
backup for better.
So would you say there's anything unique on the setups, or is it pretty much the design?
Yeah, every guitar that we have, literally, when we get them, Chris will, well, I'll let him tell you.
The pickups are replaced with Seymour Duncan Alnico Pro 2 in the neck, and a JB or a Jeff Beck model in the bridge. The volume knob is actually an Ernie Ball volume knob from his original guitars. It's a short shaft. They're faster. The shorter the shaft, the faster the knob. And then these two tone knobs are RS Guitar Works. Those are CTS, but they sound really nice. And then we use what's called their modern capacitors in there. And then Tone Pros, locking bridges and tailpieces there, and then we replace the tuners with Grovers.
So you're pretty much like your own luthier.
I guess, yeah.
he wires them, so we take the three-way, and we put a kill switch in here, and we move the three-way down here, because the reason I didn't play Les Pauls for so many years is because I grew up learning on a guitar with one volume knob. So Les Pauls, to me, just didn't make sense. They're really hard for me to use, only because, you know, I would be like on and this would be off, and it was just, I go, Chris, I use Les Pauls on a lot of the albums I've done. I go, I love the feel, I love the tones of them. Is there a way we can get them to a little more like what I'm used to with the Ernie Balls? Have one volume, simple, let's simplify it, because, you know. And that's what he did, and he came up with this whole thing for me, so we do every single guitar this way.
And that's
way.
Unique to you, right?
To me, it feels like home now, so I love it. It's like the ultimate guitar for me now, because he customized it. We spent, the first 8 months was grueling on getting the guitar to feel, like, comfortable on me, because I just love the tone of them so much. And, you know, when you're in the studio, you can set it and just play, and it's easy. But live situation, it has to be set up with the quick stuff that I'm used to. And
all the cavities have to be actually routed out for the short shaft volume knobs and the toggle switch. So you have to route it out so it's only, you know, almost as thin as a Fender pick guard right there. And
so when I smash a guitar, you can imagine how mad it gets, because
you do that a lot.
I try not to, because I know that the amount of love. I think I smashed three of them, but one
so
of them
far.
Was to save my life, you know, because the crowd was coming at me and I had no way over the barricade, so I just launched it over the barricade. But he puts so many hours worth of, you know, love and care into every single one of these guitars to get them ready for stage for me. So I try to be gentle, you know, but I play hard, so, you know. Only use for better, and we actually put a little metal finger thing, which, you know, I got this whole idea off of a super good friend of mine, Nikki Six, who puts them on all his basses, and I was trying to figure out, because better starts way up here, and when you're standing on stage, it's a real awkward, uncomfortable place. So with this, it's easy to kind of lift the guitar anywhere and still play that comfortably.
Oh.
You know, so that's why we put that there. So thank you, Nikki, for letting me rip you off. But no, that's his thing. But and this guitar is a lot. Chris can explain it too, but it's a cutaway.
Gibson Access, a Les Paul Access guitar.
It's a lot thinner.
And then it's got the contoured cutaway.
So Leatherface looked just like this before I started. And but we use this on songs like Sorry and Madagascar. And this is actually from Madagascar. You can see the strings that have wore into the pickup. And that's when I play with a drumstick. So Chris is always like, oh, you're hitting the strings too hard, blah, blah,
blah. Pretty hardcore, huh?
Yeah, but when the adrenaline's going, but that's what that's, you know, the dents in the wood is actually from the drumsticks hitting it so hard, it's denting the wood, so.
What kind of strings are you using?
Yeah, I've used Ernie Ball pretty much my whole career now.
They're pretty tough for the drumstick action?
They're, they, yeah, they,
every day anyways.
Yeah. But I use 48, 38, 28, 17, 13, and 10 as the gauge I use. And then when I record live, when I'm doing rhythms on a record, it's always we take a 7-string pack from, I think it's like 10 through 56, and we throw out the high string. So I think it starts from 13 to 56 is kind of, you know, and then all the leads, I go back to this gauge.
Okay.
But all the rhythms, I usually record with heavier. This is the National Anthem guitar. I designed this whole design for the National Anthem. So we played Kansas City Chiefs NFL game, and then we did the Monster Motocross. And we've been asked to do a couple other ones, which I'm hoping to find a little free time to do.
So is that strictly for the National Anthem then?
No, I mean, it was. We built it for that, but we kind of started incorporating it into the shows now. And we use this on, like, Sweet Child. And sometimes for what
that's
other?
Your solo. That's it.
The solo?
Okay. Your solo and Sweet Child.
There you go. This came in brand new. I took it before I even hit a chord on it. I come walking in with a blowtorch, and Chris's face, if you could have seen his face was like, what are you doing? And I lit it up. I go, trust me, this is going to be cool. And I literally just roasted the guitar. I just don't like shiny new things at all, you know, because I'm not that guy that's like, oh, I don't want to scratch it. And I'm like, chuck it.
Get it out of the way right away.
I don't even have guitar cases. But yeah, I really love this guitar a lot. Another really cool, unique thing about these guitars is because I've played on Ernie Balls for so long, I don't like finished necks. So we took the time to sand every single neck down. And we started doing them by hand ourselves. And as we went on, let me find it.
American is done.
From Gibson.
Right here. Then Gibson found out I liked him, and they started doing it professional. So that's Gibson's job. DJ and Chris's job.
Hey, that's pretty close.
Know the difference? Thank you, Gibson. And this is just a beautiful guitar that I haven't trashed yet, but this is probably the only one that I have that's actually still looks pretty.
It's pretty shiny.
Yeah. And we pretty much use this as a backup for, you know, what's Shackler's. So this would be the backup of the Leatherface guitar. But, you know, this one and the gold top I kind of try to keep cool. And then we have a couple others that are in the shop right now.
You mentioned your Ovation, your work with that. Can you tell us a little bit about
that? Yeah, I don't have any in this guitar vault, but I have four Ovations. I went to them for years. I wanted to do a signature model guitar, and for years they were like, no, it's not the right time. And finally they came to me and they're like, we want to do your signature model finally. I go, I don't want to do it anymore. And they're like, what? You've been asking for years. And I go, I want to do a signature collection.
Okay.
And they were like, you know, they're like, and then I explained it to them, and because every guitar they had was very pretty guitars, but very basic. And you see, I'm an artist, so I love to kind of, and I try to talk them in for the next probably 2 years to do guitars with artwork on them. And so we put together the Dominic collection. There's four different models. I got Michael Goddard, a really good friend of mine. He's one of the baddest painters out there. He does all the olives and stuff. So I had him help me design one. And then we have three other ones. So it's a whole collection. And now it's like Ovation's highest selling guitar. But it took years to get those made. But yeah, no, now it's like they're selling out the... and it's good. But you know, the one thing is the price point was so important to me, because originally when we had the design, they were coming in at, like, you know, around $2,000, and I was like, none of my fans can afford that. Like I want my fans to play this. I want them to be able to go out and get these guitars, and that was really important to me. So I held up production for about a year and a half fighting them on the price until we got the price down to $499 with the gig back.
Wow.
So it took a long, long time to get it to that point. But it was, you know, that was the most important, because why design them when no one's going to be able to afford them, you know.
Well, thanks for showing us your guitars. You want to go look at your rack and you can tell us a little bit about that?
Let's do it.
Chris could probably run through it a little easier, but I'll give you a brief of kind of what I know. He hands me shit, but he's kind of the mad scientist behind my thing. And we've been through, God, probably 10 different guitar, like really intricate guitar rigs, you know, like dual heads with these cabinets, with these certain speakers. And we got so like just crazy about it for a while. And I was never happy. I was like, there's just something missing. There's something wrong. And we went through every major company trying to find what I was hearing in my head, because I was trying to explain it and I couldn't. And I was really frustrated for a long time, but he never gave up, and he wanted to find that sound that was in my head, and we came across my gold mind. He was telling me one day about Fractal, and I'd never heard of him, and I went online, checked him out, and the minute I go, yeah, can you get me a couple of those sent over, and I took it to my room in the hotel and plugged it in, and I call him, I'm like, we found it. We found the tone I've been looking for. So
awesome.
He can kind of help you run through it quickly.
That's the guitar signal goes wireless to the, you know, the receiver, and then it goes into the Coleman switcher, which, so each one of these makes it just one guitar signal out. So I have, all the guitars have their own signal, you know, channel. Then after that, it goes into this, which is the RJM effect gizmo. And then from there, it'll go into these effects for Shacklers. We have a whammy pedal for Better. We have a talking machine for If the World. We have a Pog and Knockin'. Anytime we need a little bit of a slap echo, it's this quick silver delay. And then this is a Love Pedal Amp 50. It's just a boost, and we really kind of picked it because it could fit there, but it sounds great. And then after that goes to the Fractal.
So that's not too many crazy effects there.
No,
hardly.
Awesome.
Anything.
Pretty simple.
The Ray Dial, these are all these signal boosters, so we can run three wah pedals out on stage at the same time. I couldn't run the mic cables because they have gear going, but the signal goes into each one of these pairs, and it sends the guitar signal out to the stage to the Morley wah pedal, and then the signal comes back with a boost, and then it's brought back down to line level. So we've got it's a luxury of the boost, and then this is a wah pedal.
This is out where I'm at on stage. This is what I see. So it'll come in here and send it back to Chris. And so I have three of these throughout the stage, or sometimes two, depending on the stage layout. But, you know, the Morley wahs are killer. We're actually working on my own signature wah, so that'll be fun. That's the reason why this rig is so small in comparison to what you'll probably see with the other guys. Like, my rig used to be that. It used to be massive and just tons of racks and just crazy. And now it's literally this one piece of rack.
And you're happier.
I couldn't be happier. And the other thing we did is we ditched all the cabinets. So live, I just go direct into the board, right out of the Fractal, into my in-ears, and every night it sounds the same. So when you're micing down cabinets from night to night, depending on the vibration and the stage, you know, mics get moved, and every night my sound was changing, and that was a real frustrating thing for me. And with the Fractal, it every night it's just perfect. You get on stage and it's the first time I'm actually getting up there and having fun playing again. We have a whole backup of this rig, but it's not set up right here. But so everything you see is duplicated in case something goes down. And then I'll let him take you through the power end of things, because this is kind of cool.
Okay.
The power thing right here is this is an AR Pro voltage regulator. I can have anything from 89 volts to 265 volts, and it goes 120. Then this is a battery backup where I've tried it out, and we actually have over an hour of battery backup when the electricity goes off.
So if they cut
have you ever had to try that out?
We actually had an incident in Dublin where the police came and shut the power off.
Why?
Well, because we were over our time.
Oh,
and then they
the
actually
police come in, huh?
They tackled me because they thought I was, you know, doing something wrong. I was like, hey, I'm just, you know.
Like, I'm just watching the equipment here.
Yeah, that's the night I went out and grabbed my guitar and start playing anyway, and no one can figure out how the I had power because they
plus
shut
have,
the power.
Like, the
so I'm up there laughing,
the dark, so.
And Axel has a megaphone, and it was pretty funny.
Sounds like you guys
on.
Have some fun. Did you design your hat too?
I did.
Okay.
Me and Cody over at Forgotten Saints did, and we actually had it made in Bali. It's by a company who I've kind of teamed up with, and they're starting to make a lot of cool stuff coming out. But
it's pretty. I like it a
lot. Thank you.
It reminds me of your guitar as well.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, this is all stuff from my clothing line. And, you know, so check it out. A situation where we're plugging into cabinets. We're always going through Mesa Boogie stuff. So on, like, the kind of broken down acoustic show we played, we used Mesa Boogie stuff. And they've been great, you know, along the way. And Premier Guitar. Love you guys.
Yay. Thank you so much for taking the time out to show us your guitars and all of your equipment and everything. We're really excited for the show.
Yeah, thank you.
That was DJ Ashba from Guns N' Roses and his guitar tech, Chris. This is Tessa
Chris.
Jeffers.
Mother white man.
Yeah. This is Tessa Jeffers for PremierGuitar.com.